Hey, about 15 years ago, I was in our annual conference, and we do an annual conference at the end of July called Powerhouse Conference, and back then it was called Launch. It was the start of the year, and I was in our annual conference, and we had a visiting prophet. Her name's Vicky Simpson, and she's a C3 prophet and travels around to many churches, and she's been a key prophet for our church for a number of years, over 15 plus years, and she prophesied over Danielle and I. And the prophecy, in essence, went like this. God wants to bless you. God sees that you're really focused on the church, and he likes that. But he actually is not content with your contentment for your own personal world. And he wants to bless you. And then she went on to say he's got a new house for you. And the new house will be a house that will give you a new outlook. It'll have water views. It'll be spiritually significant. And it was this really amazing prophetic word over us at this conference. Now, what I'd like to say immediately, I said, wow, Lord, that's amazing. But immediately I actually thought to myself, that doesn't sound really like it's for me. Maybe that was for her. Yeah. That's I'm being honest right now. Okay, the prophet. The Bible tells us when we get a prophecy, we can weigh it up. We don't just take a word from a prophet as that's it. We weigh it up and we hold it before God. So I thought, oh, maybe that's just her something for herself. Me, a little faith. And so I did what you do when you weigh up a prophecy and it doesn't really sit with you. We just put it on the shelf. We just like, okay, God, I'm not saying it's not from you. It doesn't make me feel bad, but it doesn't resonate right now. So we put it on the shelf. If it's from you, it'll come back to us. Fast forward a couple of years, and we're hearing some preaching, and the preaching was really about letting God bless you. And you know, one of the lines was something like this: the level of your self-esteem will be the level of blessing that you allow God to give you. And suddenly I realized that my self-esteem was blocking God from blessing me, and God quickened that prophecy. So I went back, better pull that prophecy off the shelf, started to listen to it again. Danielle and I started to play it and go, okay, God, this is really nice. You're discontent with our contentment. You want to bless us with a new house. That's really awesome. So we began to believe God and say, what does that look like? Over the next couple of years, God gave us scriptures as we read them, and that's what God does when he speaks to us. He brings the Bible alive to us, and he gave us one particular scripture in Psalm 128 and said, your work will give you what you need. Blessings and good things will come to you. I'm like, oh, that's an awesome promise. Thank you, Lord. And so one day I remember I'm sitting at Shelley Beach thinking about this house. I found this scripture again because I'd lost it for a couple of years. I couldn't find it. It was in a different version. Everywhere I saw it, couldn't find it. And people are like starting to go, I think you made that up. That's not really a scripture. I'm like, it is a scripture. And as I was sitting at Shelley Beach, I read Psalm 128 again. I found the scripture. And then I got a text from one of our pastors at the time, Pastor Marita. And it was this text saying, I've just been praying for you. God really wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. I saw a new house. She described this house that God wanted to give us, which is actually exactly the house that we ended up getting. So it was this prophetic confirmation. And then fast forward a few more years, our faith journey began. We stepped out. That's a whole other faith journey story. But God gave us this beautiful home as a fulfillment of a prophetic word, a scripture, and prophetic encouragement from the community of faith. And I want to encourage us today that this is the way we walk with God, that God appoints prophets in his church and he brings people along to bring words from God to reveal God's plans for us. But he also speaks and confirms it out of his word. We call it a rhema word. But then when we're part of a community, when we're part of a church who is prophetic, then those things get encouraged in us and prophetic promises come over and over again. And this is our desire for our church, that we would be a church where the prophetic is honored, where everybody learns to grow to hear God and to prophesy and to move forward. So our scripture for the year is Ephesians chapter 4, 11, verse 12. You'll see that in the foyer. And it's Paul writing to the Ephesians, and it says this: he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, so often called the fivefold, five different things, for the purpose that he gave them is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying or strengthening of the body of Christ. All right, so and then it goes on, it talks about the church being unified together, and ultimately the fruit of the prophetic is that we would all grow mature and we'd be equipped for the work of ministry. A little screen up here that I want to put up for you to describe really what I think is three aspects of what the fivefold gifts looks like. So if we can put the first screen up about the fivefold gifts. The first thing around the fivefold gifts is mobilizing. They're five leadership gifts. We're talking about leaders who Jesus appoints to a specific function, whether it's an apostle, whether it's a prophet, whether it's an evangelist, whether it's a teacher, or whether it's a pastor, a specific function for his church and to equip the saints for ministry and for maturity. So Jesus appoints people and they're leaders, and he appoints them in the church, and their role is to mobilize all of us for growing in these five areas of our life and how to use those gifts to strengthen and build the church. So that's the first part of the fivefold. The second part is for ministry. I like to think of it like this. I like to think of it that a body has five senses. And so I believe that this scripture is an indication of five aspects of who Jesus is. He's an apostle, he's a prophet, he's an evangelist, he's a pastor, he's a teacher, he's a shepherd, he's a teacher. Five aspects of who Jesus is and five streams that he wants to flow in the church. And so those streams, at every healthy church has five streams flowing. So there's an apostolic stream, which is all about taking ground and breakthrough. There's a prophetic stream about hearing the voice of God and encouraging one another. There's an evangelistic stream in the church where evangelists function and flourish to win lost people to Jesus. There's a shepherding stream where we're encouraged to love and care for one another and to pastor, and a teaching stream so we love the word of God. So these are streams. I actually believe that God graces us when we're followers of Jesus with at least one of these streams that is where the grace of God is on our life to function. Maybe there's more than one, but this is how I've seen it and how I believe Jesus sets up his church. More of that later. And then the third thing is for maturity. So this is five strengths. So five streams is all about different areas in church that really need to flow and function. But five strengths is if we're individually going to be mature believers, these are five things that all of us need to grow in. We all need to grow in our faith and breakthrough and taking ground. We all need to grow to be able to, you're not spiritually mature if you can't hear the voice of God. You're not spiritually mature if you don't have a heart for lost people and function in soul winning. We're not spiritually mature if we don't care for other Christians. We don't love one another. And we're not spiritually mature until we know our way around the Bible and understand the Word of God. Doesn't mean you have to be a teacher. Just love the Word, know our way around the Bible. Makes sense. All right, so that's really the overarching thing. So we're focusing this 3 weeks on pursuing the prophetic. In this pursuit of the prophetic, last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, this coming tonight with Pastor Danielle, as I've said earlier, we'll be really focusing on the gift of prophecy, one of the 9 spiritual gifts. And Paul says to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, let love be your highest goal. You should also desire the special abilities or gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that he gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Why is that? Well, speaking in tongues is the gift that builds me up. But prophecy is the gift that builds you up. So God wants all of us to prophesy. Paul says, I want everyone to be able to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than you all. But I especially want you to prophesy, because if we are a prophetic community of people, hearing the voice of God and bringing love to one another through encouragement from God, then that will mean the church is strong. We're edified, okay? And so that's the gift of prophecy. The motivation for prophecy is always love. It's always to build people up, to strengthen people, and to encourage people. And I'm not going to repeat that those messages. Really encourage you to listen and re-listen around the heart, around the gift of prophecy. Make sense? The gift. But what's a prophetic stream look like in our church? What is in a healthy church, what's a prophetic stream look like? Let me just do a little deep dive. I'm teaching here this morning to help us, all right? And then this is going to make sense. But the first thing I want to talk about, well, what's the difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet? Because if you read the New Testament and understand and kind of what did all the Old Testament prophets, then without reading the New Testament, you might go a little bit weird on us. I don't want you coming in here in your undies and walking around delivering a prophetic message from God, all right? That, you know, there was a prophet in the Old Testament, Isaiah. God literally said, all of my people, because they've disobeyed my word, are going to go into slavery. They'll be stripped naked. And as a way to warn them, I want you to be stripped naked and I want you to prophesy and walk around the city. Don't recommend. Now, just for clarity, most scholars believe that that was with a loincloth on, just to be clear. So it's more of a Tarzan type prophecy than any other kind. But in that sense, it was embarrassing and shameful, and he was giving a prophetic picture. Now, if you walk in here in your Speedos, well, you're going to get baptized. That's about all that's going to happen around here, right? Just to be really clear. So Old Testament prophets, Hebrews chapter 11 says this, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. That's how God, the way God spoke to his people in the Old Testament was predominantly through his prophets. The Holy Spirit wasn't yet released to every believer, so we individuals weren't hearing the voice of the whisper of God. And so that's how God spoke long ago. But now, verse 2, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So now there's a shift. In the Old Testament, God spoke primarily through the prophets. Then he speaks through the Son, who is the Word of God, which is how now God speaks to us primarily. It's through the Son, who is the Logos. He is the whole Bible, or the Word of God. And then he has given us all, when you become a Christian, and if today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and you heard Elijah's story about what a difference Jesus has made, and how he's the only one who'll fill the gap in your life, when you become a Christian, what happens is God's Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and you get to hear God whisper and speak through impressions, through pictures, through dreams, through all sorts of different ways. That's how we now hear from God. Now, so here's some things, the ways that Old Testament. So Old Testament prophets spoke God's word to the people. They were God's premium messengers of God. They would start their prophecies out, thus saith the Lord. Most of them actually heard God audibly. So Samuel's like, I heard you calling me. And he goes, oh no, that's not me. Elijah said, Samuel said that. No, that's it, that right. Samuel was a little, Eli said, Samuel, that's not me, that's God. So most of the Old Testament prophets actually heard the audible voice of God. That's how they could speak with such clarity and authority, because they were representing God. So they would be messages from God. The Old Testament prophets actually, their words became scripture. So we have four, we call them the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And they're not major because they're the best, they're major because their books are the longest. And so that includes Lamentations. And then there's 12 minor prophets. We go for people like Micah and Nahum, and there's a range of different ones, and they wrote smaller books, but all of them. So Old Testament prophets, numbers of them, when they prophesied, it became literal scripture, became the holy canon that we believe in the Hebrew Bible and now in our believer's Bible. So number two, Old Testament prophets, they're responsible for confronting sin and injustice. They would stand up and tell people, this is God's way and you're falling short and we need to turn and follow the law and the ways of God. Call out idolatry, corruption, exploitation of the poor. Old Testament prophets would reveal God's future plans. Talk about future events. You just got to read Daniel and a number of future events that have already been fulfilled in terms of kingdoms that have risen and come to pass and then gone away. So there was prophesying about the future, things that have already happened, but also things that are yet to have happened, they prophesied about. The main thing they prophesied about was that Jesus was coming. So Isaiah, he's prophesying about the servant and the Messiah of God in numbers of chapters. So they were foretelling future events. And the fourth thing is they acted out symbolic messages, okay? Dramatic signs. Ezekiel, God asked him to lie on one side for 390 days. As a prophetic picture about God was going to do. All right, so that's the Old Testament. This a New Testament prophet. We're going to look at a few examples of this, but New Testament prophets are different. New Testament prophets aren't bringing scripture to us. The Bible is finished. It's been written. So no prophet today stands up with absolute authority to declare something. That's not true. So they don't have authority. Scripture is now the authority, and prophets come under the authority. They have no position of the solo authority of representing God. A prophet is not the solo authority. They're part of a community. They submit, they go along with the fivefold, apostles and prophets and pastors. Those are a leadership team who work together. So prophets can't just come and say whatever they want to us. And the New Testament prophet's role is not to declare judgment. That's not the role of a New Testament prophet. It's not to declare judgment. Okay, so sometimes I've seen people try to be a prophet but copying an Old Testament model. But a New Testament prophet doesn't call judgment out on people. A New Testament prophet, actually, here's what they do. Their primary role of a New Testament prophet, I'm going to talk about this because I'm also setting us up for next week. We've got a New Testament prophet coming to our church next week. But New Testament prophet primary role is, number one, to equip God's people to hear God's voice and to activate the gift of prophecy to strengthen, comfort, and encourage one another. So a true New Testament prophet is going to help all of us to actually know how to hear God's voice, put fire in us for that, and teach us so that we can be a community who encourage each other through prophecy. That's number one. That's the number one sign of a New Testament prophet. I want to prophesy and encourage people around me, and I know how to hear the voice of God. The number two of a New Testament prophet's role is to reveal God's heart for people. So the heart of God is revealed. One of the earliest prophets I ever encountered was a man called Fergus McIntyre, the late Fergus McIntyre. And he was a weeping prophet. And he couldn't help but stand up in front of the church and cry. And just, he'd had a vision from God about the church, right? And he just goes, "Lost people matter to God." And he'd say that for about 10 minutes and he'd cry and he'd weep. And you caught the burden of God for lost people, and he was revealing God's heart to us. So prophets, a New Testament prophet reveals God's heart to us. And out of that, they strengthen and encourage the church. A New Testament prophet's role is to stir the church up to worship, to prayer, and revival. They stir us up and release us into the supernatural. Prophets, New Testament prophets, get us thinking about this connection that we have with God. A New Testament pastor will get us thinking about the love and connection we have with one another. But a New Testament prophet will help us and stir us towards worship and prayer and intercession and releasing the supernatural in our church. That's what a New Testament prophet will do. And the last thing a New Testament prophet will do is they'll reveal God's plans and strategies and submit these to church leaders. No New Testament prophet will ever come into a church, bypass the leaders of the church, and make a declaration of what this church needs to be doing. They always come in and submit. Last 2 years ago, Prophet David McCracken, we call him pastor, but he's a prophet, came to us, and we will ask specific people outside of our church who are prophets, capital P prophets, to come to our church and to bring a word from God for our church and also for individuals in our church. And so God spoke to him about a third city for our church. And God said, "You're going to conceive it in the next 12 months. Now, when he came, he gave the prophecy to Danielle and I. And then he said, "Are you okay? Would you like me to share that with the leaders and with the church?" And that's how a New Testament prophet operates. They come and they undergird and support the pastors and the leaders or the elders or whatever in the local church. So that's what he did. And so that helped us because that wasn't on our cards. Going to Sydney wasn't on our cards for a location. Planning a church this year wasn't. I was thinking another 3 or 4 years. But that outside New Testament prophet brings a strategy and plan from God for us. And number five, the last one, is a New Testament prophet confirms the giftings and callings on people's lives. Confirms them. So one of the greatest ways to know what your primary stream in church is when a prophet prophesies over you. I see you called to evangelism. I see you called to teaching the word of God. I say, whatever that might be, that'll be one of the primary ways we know. Making sense today. Five things. So let's just look at three New Testament examples of actual prophets in the New Testament. Are you ready to go? First one's name is Agabus. Everybody say Agabus. That's a new name for your kids, Hannah and Kyle, your first son, little Agabus. That'll be magnificent. Let's go. Acts chapter 11, 27 to 30. And I've got so many names for you. This is amazing. In these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Okay. Jerusalem was the starting church. Antioch was the next developing apostolic center. Prophets went from one to the other. So now we're talking about not the individual believers prophesying over each other, but God ordained prophets traveling from one church to the other. So, okay, they're traveling from one. They went to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus, okay, I think he's the first prophet, New Testament prophet mentioned in Scripture, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he prophesied something in the future. So then the disciples, each according to their ability, determined to send relief back to the brethren dwelling in Judea. So back to Jerusalem. And this they did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the prophet reveals something that's coming. The leaders make a decision as a result of the prophetic word to give money. Great, yeah. See the pattern? Prophet reveals something that's coming. Leaders make a decision. We go on next in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Same church. This is at Antioch, north of Jerusalem. Now in that church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Okay, so Antioch itself as a church doesn't just rely on the prophets from Jerusalem. It also has got its own prophets. And it lists them, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manion, and Saul. So it lists five people. It doesn't say which ones were prophets and which ones were teachers. It'd be pretty clear that Saul, who became Paul, was a teacher. And so his gift and role was teaching in the church. And this is what it says. And then as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So the New Testament prophets are seeking God together as a leadership team and revealing that God's plan is to now send Saul and Barnabas on their first missions trip. So Saul, in this moment, goes from being a teacher to an apostle. Because an apostle is a sent one to break open ground. So in this moment, because of a prophetic word, God does something in the church. Are we making sense? So this is God, and God's confirming the gifting and callings on Saul's life and Barnabas in this moment that they're to be apostles. Last one, Acts chapter 15, verse 32. This is just progressively how the prophetic works in the New Testament church. Turn to your neighbor and say, "This is so good for me to hear." I'm glad, and thank you so much. Paul and Barnabas, okay. So they've planted churches. Lots of the churches they planted are Gentile churches, not Jews. So they don't eat certain foods, they're not circumcised, they don't follow the strict Jewish rules. And so they're wondering, some people are coming and saying, "You guys need to follow the Jewish rules if you're going to be true Christians." So Paul and Barnabas, submitted to overall leadership, go back to Jerusalem and say, "What do you guys say about that? What's the thing that you want us to know?" And the leaders in Jerusalem, James and Peter, make this decision all together. "Hey, good news, guys. You don't have to be circumcised." And all the men said, "Amen." "Good news, guys. You can eat bacon. You don't have to withhold." And everybody said, "Amen." So all these good news. And he said, "We've made the decision. We're going to send two of our own leaders back to the church in Antioch with Paul and Barnabas." And so they send them back. And so we decided, this is Acts 15, 25. We decided, having come to complete agreement, to send you official representatives, two people, along with Saul and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas to confirm what we've decided concerning your question. Go down to verse 32. They deliver the good news to the church. You don't have to become Jews to become Christians. And then it says, "And then Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers, encouraging and strengthening their faith." What's the New Testament prophet doing? They're actually in leadership roles. They're delivering messages to churches, and they're bringing encouragement and strength to the church. Makes sense, doesn't it? So as a church, the prophetic stream for us looks like this. We partner with prophets, people like David McCracken, people like Vicky Simpson, people like Greg French, who's preaching in Melbourne today, is a great someone who's both a great pastor and a great prophet. We partner with pastors with strong prophetic abilities. People like Paul Geeling has been to our church and brings prophetic. So it's great. We've got internal prophets, but we love to get external prophets because they come in fresh without a preconceived ideas. I'm excited we've got Catherine Ruinala coming to our conference at the end of July. She sees miracles and the supernatural, but she's a prophetic evangelist. And so Danielle and I visited their church, and literally, and so if someone's a prophet and they say something, it's not usually like, God loves you, okay? That's what most of us do who are using the gift of prophecy. She's like, you prayed this prayer. And it was exactly the prayer that I'd prayed for the first time in my life that morning, and it was very specific. And so then the fact that she said that made me go, okay, what's next? It gave credibility to her prophetic word because God revealed things to her, and then she shared prophetic words over us. So that Trent Membry is someone with a strong prophetic gifting. Next Sunday, for the very first time, we have a prophet by the name of Luca Robertson. I've heard about Pastor Luca. He actually is a Samoan. He leads a church in Auckland. But I've heard about Pastor Luca from probably four or five different pastors that I respect, and say that Pastor Luca is one of the most accurate prophets that they've heard. And so we've invited him to come. It's Pentecost Sunday next Sunday. We've invited him to come to our church as a prophet. And this is what the Bible says. Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. So God, if your faith is there, you'll hear from God. So if you activate your faith, you may get a prophetic word. You can wear your orange t-shirt or your red t-shirt or your fluoro vest or whatever it might be. You may get a prophetic word. That's not so much the goal. Mostly a prophet will bring something to the church and then equip us to prophesy. But he will. So I'm excited. He said his church is doing a 21-day fast. And so he'll be coming to us off the back of this, the middle of this fast. And I just said, this is how, if someone's coming to our church as a prophet, the way I set them up is I say, I want you to bring a word from God for our church. Because I preach in different places, and I respond to what the faith is there. So sometimes they go, I want you to preach about volunteers. I'm like, cool. Other times they go, hey, I want you to bring breakthrough in the miraculous. They go, what's your expectation? I'll operate with that. And so I said, bring a word from God for our church. We want to hear from God. Help us unlock a move of God in our church and unlock a new dimension of the supernatural. Pastor Luca had one of the most crazy miracle healing stories from being on a deathbed of an incurable disease because he'd been cursed by witches. And it was revealed in the most crazy prophetic way in the middle of a service. God said to him, there's a Hebrew prophet is going to come and lay their staff on you, and they're going to release a key to healing. He didn't know a Hebrew prophet. In the middle of a God moment, a person in the church who'd never been to that church with a staff, like a Hebrew staff, fighting God, saying, there's no way I'm going to do this right now. I'm not the prophet in this place. But God eventually came and he put his staff on his chest and revealed that there's witches in his city have been praying a curse over his life and how to break it. And they went back, they went to that place, they broke this curse, and he got dramatically healed from one of the most, he was on his end of a death run, basically. The doctor said, we can't do anything for you. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is going to be one of those Sundays. This is one of those ones you don't want to miss. You want to come with an expectation that God's, but here's what happens. Our faith releases the prophetic. If you're like, oh yeah, Luca, good on you, mate. Come on over, give us your best message. That doesn't release anything. But when you've got faith, you'll receive a prophet's reward. That's part of what we're talking about for us. And so that's next Sunday. I'm super excited about it. There's certain things I'm not even going to preach about today in case Pastor Luca hears this message. Because often I like to listen to a message before I come. When David McCracken comes to our church, he says, don't tell me anything about your church. Don't let your drivers who pick me up from the airport tell me anything about your church. Nothing. And someone will go, so, blah, blah, and he goes, dup, dup, dup. Don't talk. Because I'm bringing something direct from God and I don't want it contaminated from what I see. That's a New Testament prophet that strengthens the church. Now then, within the church, We've got people who have got the gift of prophecy. We've got prophets. Danielle's got a great prophetic gift and grace on her life. Teresa, great gift and prophetic grace. A ministry team, pastors like Kathy and Sharon, Katrina, Bowen, who's going to become a pastor soon. Nick Hickman, Dan Lambert, Isaac Childs, Judy Phillips. We've got lots of different ones who actually operate in the stream of the prophetic. And then, I mean, I could name so many more people who have got that prophetic grace. So, all right, we're bringing it to a close. Let me just, give me 5 more minutes, because it's my one preach for 3 weeks, for 5 weeks. So I'm just going to take them anyway. How do you know? So 2 things I want to talk about. The stream of the prophetic, when the stream of the prophetic is strong in a local church, this is what it looks like. Are you ready to go? Just real quickly. When the stream is strong, we honor prophetic voices and God's fresh word that he speaks to us. When we preach, we're not just trying to preach our favorite message. I never preach a message that I pull off the shelf from years ago. I always want a fresh message of what God's saying to our church. We train people, a prophetic church, where that stream's strong. What people are trained to hear God's voice clearly. There's a culture of prophetic encouragement. So ideally, the majority of the believers in the church are seeking the gift of prophecy to encourage and build up others. The church, if the prophetic stream is strong, the church is passionate about prayer, worship, and spiritual intimacy. And there's a strong intercessory culture. And Paul says to Timothy, I want you to wage warfare according to the prophecies made by you, for you. So a prophetic church doesn't go, oh, there's God's prophecies. Hopefully they'll come to pass. A prophetic church goes, these are the words God's spoken to us, and we're going to wage warfare by them and pray them into reality. That's a prophetic church. So how do you know what the grace on your life is? How do I know if it's evangelistic or apostolic or teaching or pastoral? Or now remember, we're called to get strong in all of these areas. But how do you know? Great question. I'm glad you asked. Firstly, usually it'll be prophetically confirmed. Okay, I remember my first main prophecy that I ever received was from Fergus McIntyre, who I talked about. He said, you've got a powerful prophetic gift on your life. He said, that's why you see lots of things. What you've got to do is, just because you see them, don't worry about them. Build your faith and buoyancy so you don't get pulled down by what you see, but recognize there's a prophetic gifting and grace on your life. That was so helpful to me. That was the first, and I would say that was probably my first stream in my life that I began to grow and flow in. So prophetically, you'll be confirmed. But if you haven't had a prophecy, here's 3 things that you can do. Number one is, how do I recognize? So there's a screen up going to come up behind me. Number one, it'll be fruit. The gift or the grace on your life will cause people's lives to be transformed or strengthened. So basically, if I want to know who's got the prophetic grace on them, I'll come to the Connect group leader and go, when you have a time or an opportunity for prophecy, who really brings something from God that brings great encouragement and strength to other people? There'll be fruit. Does that make sense? It won't be just, I think I've got it. People will be encouraged and strengthened and comforted because of the grace of God. Number two, you'll have a fire for it. There'll be a passion for these activities. Pastor Teresa last week spoke about the first time she heard prophecy. And she's like, oh, something really came alive in me. So today, some of you are sitting here going, I love this. I want to be a prophet. This is amazing. When can I prophesy over somebody? And there's fire in your belly for it. Give me a wave if that's you. Like, come on, give me an unashamed eye. Yeah, that's me. Fantastic. Awesome. You can help the rest of us. And the third thing is, it'll be a frustration. When this stream is not strong, you can see gaps. You're concerned. You're like, where do I get to prophesy? Where's my opportunity? Where do I get to use this particular gift or grace? And that's why we're doing this series. Because I'd say 3 main areas you get to express it in church. Number one, the place of growth is in small groups. That's, you're part of a community, you're part of people, and you're able to prophesy. You're able to prophesy over people as you grow in the grace, and you've just got to go, did that make sense? Was that helpful? Give me honest feedback. so that you grow and make mistakes and learn. And the best place to do that is in a small group. So we're encouraging one another. Maybe it's intercession in our church. We have an intercessory prayer meeting that happens every fortnight. And it's about 20, 25 people who go along to that, and particularly people who want to grow in hearing God's voice. And there's some mature prophets in our church who go to that, and they'll be able to help and shape you. And then the worship team is one of the great prophetic expressions of our church. Nick Hickman, our worship director, has a strong prophetic grace on his life. Whenever we have church leadership prayer meetings, I'll always stop and go, who's got something from God? Who just, while we prayed for half an hour, who heard something? And Teresa often, Danielle often, but Nick's is a regular, like, I really saw this. I felt God wants to do this. That's a prophetic grace, and that gets expressed through the worship team as we connect to God. Making sense?
Yeah.
So we want to be a church that's strong in the prophetic, hearing the voice of God, passionate about his presence, stirring one another up to love and good works through the gift of the prophecy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.